Welcome to another episode of Search News You Can Use with me, Dr. Marie Haynes. Well, this is a different type of episode. Google just released a podcast, the Search Off the Record podcast, is about changing Google's SEO guidelines. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, wow, I need to drop everything that I'm doing. I'm working on some GPTs right now and really enjoying it, but I thought I need to drop what I'm doing to look at what Google's changed. And then I realized, oh, I'm probably going to have to create a podcast episode on this and write about it for a newsletter. And that's going to take some time out of my day. And I thought, why don't I do it all together? So I'm going to walk you through a few things today. We're going to look at what changes they've talked about making. And I'm going to make some notes as I talk. And then I'm going to show you how I take those notes and use Google's Gemini in AI Studio, which I don't hear very many people talking about. So I'm just trying to goof around and figure out what I can do. But I have some structured prompts that I created in AI Studio that will allow me to take my notes and then create a summary for my newsletter. Somebody commented on my newsletter yesterday as to whether or not I was a bot. And sometimes I wonder the same myself, because I've been able to summarize all of these things for newsletter much more quickly than I used to before. And I'll tell you, as you use more language model tools like ChatGPT and Bard to help you summarize things, it teaches you how to summarize things. So let's summarize what Google has just said about changing their SEO starter guidelines. And so I'm not gonna go through every single line here. We're gonna jump to the parts that look like they are most interesting. If SEO is dead, why are we spending time on the SEO starter guide? Is SEO dead? People keep asking me if SEO is dead. Businesses still exist and businesses need to be found online. So as long as that is a thing, then SEO is a thing. And whether we change it, I was jokingly saying we should change it to language model AI optimization, because the acronym would be good. SEO is not dead. I don't know what we're going to call it, but we will always need to help businesses to be found online. Okay, so let's see. And I should say, I haven't read through this transcript yet, so hopefully it's as exciting as I think it will be. Maybe it won't be. We'll see. The SEO page is the third most viewed page of Google's website, of Google's blog, which is interesting to them because, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So this part is really interesting. They're talking about this page. It has a very high satisfaction rating for the thumbs up. You'll see this on Google's pages. They'll ask you, was this a good example? Was this a bad example? And that's something that they likely use in machine learning systems. That's how machine learning systems work, is you show them examples of good, helpful content, and you show them examples of not so helpful content. And then the system learns how to weigh all the different factors that it could consider to come up with something that's really good at predicting whether content is helpful or not. So Google does this themselves, and I think it's probably a good thing that we should be doing on our websites too, is just asking people, is this helpful? Do you find my content helpful? Because we know that's what Google wants to reward. Now, our baseline is at 75%. And this document has a 91% positive rating. So people like it. It's the top viewed page. It's ranking well. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think they're just babbling here. I think that Lizzie is actually trying to tell us something, that if Google wants to reward helpful content, the reason why, and I'm going to make a note here about this, this page from Google, it's ranking because people find it helpful. All right, so lots of people are looking at it, therefore we should make it even better. All right, that's... So John says that Google is working kind of on cleaning up their cannibalization in the search results. I think what they're saying here is that they've got all sorts of different guides that Google has written over time, and you know, things have changed over time. So they're making some changes. Let's see, it's more of a maintenance thing. Like, we don't want to have 10 different places where we're going, just saying the same thing. Okay. You know what? I'm going to add this little part in my notes here to say this is my note. This is important for when I summarize this with Gemini. I don't want Gemini to write the story as Google saying, oh, this is ranking because people are finding it helpful. That's my little thing that I'm putting in there. Let's see here. So... this part's interesting. They're talking about cutting some text out if it's not maybe relevant or something that people find interesting or helpful. And Gary said, well, it'll probably fall in rankings if they do that. Because mostly we're trying to make the doc tighter and get rid of stuff that's less important nowadays. Okay, so... yeah, you might see rankings fall if you cut information out, but why rank for things that people aren't searching for anymore, right? So I think a lot of the time, a lot of the way that SEOs determine rankings and use ranking tools is really going to have to change, especially if you've been reading newsletter, you know that Assistant, I really believe that Assistant is the way that people will search, voice search through Assistant is... And how do you track those rankings? You know, when I have a conversation with soon Bard is going to be an assistant. When I have a conversation with Bard in assistant about, you know, what gardening products I need, and then eventually I end up landing on a store and purchasing from them, how do you, there's no keywords there. That's going to be something that's going to be difficult to track. Okay, so let's see here. The current word count of the guide is around 8,000, and their next draft is around the 3,000 mark. So okay, so Google is cutting out over half of the information that's in this guide. Okay. John, are you saying that Google looks at word count? It does kind of sound like that's what we're implying. This is Lizzie. That will fall in the rankings because it's no longer 8,000 words. And Gary says, that's precisely what I'm saying. Of course, no. Now, if you are not familiar with Gary Eash, he's very sarcastic. And so he's not saying that word count matters. But he's like, honestly, if you think about it, if you don't have those words on the page anymore, then how would you rank for them? So yeah, you could stop ranking for things that you've cut out of your text. But like I said, if they're not things that matter, then why? It's just vanity for us to track that as keywords. Let's see here. They do focus on, Lizzie says, well, I don't even think we're ranking for HTTPS. That's the part that they took out of their documentation. Well, there's a clue there, right? So that's kind of interesting. The thing that, so you could be looking at your Search Console data and be, you know, what terms are you talking about? Actually, that's a really good tip here, idea. What terms are you talking about? And you can look at Search Console queries to find keywords or phrases, really, that you're ranking for but rarely get clicks or engagement for. Now we know how to edit our content to be more helpful. Okay. Let's see here. I feel like a lot of the stuff we're cutting out are things that are either dated or automatically baked into some CMS that a beginner type user, yeah, so some things have changed. Right, because it's hard to make your site not HTTPS. Like, that's something that was super important. I mean, it still is, but it's just kind of the thing that people do now. Let's see. WordPress with a capital P. And they didn't capitalize it in the transcript. I skipped over a bit that was still just talking about some HTML and technical things that I didn't find too interesting. So they're going to talk another thing here, is that there's not a lot of detail in the guide. And people want to be like, here's an exact HTML, like perfect HTML page that you can replicate. And Gary said, well, that's not how it works. John, wouldn't it be easier if all of the pages looked the same? Then Google could just look at the same page. That's really funny because you may have seen the Verge article recently. There were two. This is not the alligator one that SEOs are all up in a tizzy over. It's one that talks about how, and I actually agree with it, that SEOs in trying to be the website that Google likes the most have created this system where all websites look the same. We have certain themes that load fast. We have, certain themes that have been shown to that users tend to like more, and so like everybody has the same way of writing, and that doesn't have to be that way. That was important when we had an algorithm that was a list of rules that we were trying to kind of reverse engineer. And today, Google uses all sorts of machine learning systems that work together to try and determine what's likely to be helpful and reliable to a searcher. So let's see what they go on to say here. I mean, we have a section in there about creating unique content. So everything being the same is like, it's not very interesting. Okay. Creating unique content is one of the most important things. Let's talk about Assistant. And I've shown some screenshots in newsletter of me using Assistant, and often it will show me just one website, maybe the one that's holding the featured snippet today, or it will show me a carousel of websites that all are websites that look good according to the guidelines that Google's given us in terms of helpful content. And the very first one of those questions that Google says to ask yourself is whether your content is original, insightful. And so many of us create content by looking at what everybody else has already created and trying to create the same thing, but maybe a little bit different. And then, you know, pointing links at it or something. That doesn't make your content actually more helpful. People want to... When I'm in Assistant is like a librarian that goes into all of search and is really good at picking out what I need to see. And it usually is quite good so far. And often I don't need to see multiple websites. But when there are multiple websites, they tend to be helpful content. And often they're ones that answer unique components of a topic. So like... Say the topic was, say I did a search on Assistant with my camera of one of my plants, and I was asking, and it was a basil plant, and I was asking for, you know, how do I take care of this? Well, Assistant might show me a YouTube video from somebody who is actually taking care of the plant, and then also a video from a website that's known for herbs and for gardening with information. And then, like, it shows me something that each has its own. I would be wanting to see each of those on its own. So originality is important. Let's see here. So Gary says, yeah, they can't provide a template that people can reuse. And they're talking here about creating structured data. Structured data is something that I have not paid enough attention to. That's a whole topic that I should do an episode on in itself. The most recent episode of Marie's Thoughts, I've done a really deep dive into structured data. And it turns out that it's important. It's not something that you can say, oh, but I implemented author structured data and I never saw a ranking benefit. Structured data can help Google understand the topics that you write about and you know, get it really, really right. And so some structured data implemented can cause you less traffic because Google can understand, oh, actually, they're just about this topic, so we won't rank them for those. But it looks like structured data is something that we should be paying a lot more attention to. And throughout the years, Google has told us to pay attention to a few things that kind of sound like they're making stuff up. One is structured data, and you could cynically say, well, by marking things, by structured data, I mean that you're putting markup on your page to say, this is the address, this is the author, using schema markup. And when you're doing that, you're helping to train Google. You're helping Google to recognize, oh, this is how we identify what an author looks like. Here's how we identify the frequently asked questions regarding a topic. You know, Google can learn a lot from the structured data that we give them. You know, what do we get in return? Gosh, this is becoming a whole podcast episode on its own. The second thing that Google keeps telling us to pay attention to that we're like, yeah, okay, whatever, is voice. And voice search, you know, I've tried to use my Google Assistant for years, wanting it to be an actual assistant that was, you know, a good buddy to, not a good buddy, but like somebody who can actually accomplish things for me and help me get stuff done. And voice search hasn't been where it should be. Well, with Bard coming to Assistant soon, and Bard will be getting an upgrade. We haven't seen the full power of Bard with Gemini Ultra, which is the version of Gemini, the language model behind Bard, that is trained on images and video, and understands so much more about the world than just being trained on text. So pay attention to structured data and voice. There's a reason why Google has been telling us this. Let's see here. Structured data docs and use them for your cheese collection. Cheese is kind of one of the very first demonstrations when Google was talking about entities. I don't know if it was Google or there was a very early paper talking about entities, and they used the different types of cheeses as examples. Let's see. Categorize their cheese in alphabetical order. What the heck are they talking about? Google should tell us whether we should put keywords in our domain name or not. And they're like, do whatever you want. It boils down to whatever you want. I'm going to tell you that the reason why Google, they sound kind of flippant in regards to this. And it's, if you understand how search has changed, it actually makes sense what they're saying. Search, the Department of Justice is currently in a lawsuit against Google. It's an antitrust lawsuit. I don't know a lot of the details in regards to the lawsuit, but there's some testimony that is available that you can download. Anybody can get it for free, of Google's Pandu Nayak talking about exactly how the algorithm works. And they talk about... they talk a lot about information satisfaction signals and clicks and user engagement. And I'm not going to explain how it all works here because I've been working on understanding it for weeks and weeks now. And this is the subject of my book that will soon be out once I get stop being distracted by creating podcasts like this. But it will eventually get out. So what it all comes down to is Google's results end up getting narrowed down to 20 to 30 results. And RankBrain, which is an AI, the system that Google has, just like ChatGPT is an AI system that uses, you know, multiple techniques to use the language model GPT. RankBrain is Google's AI system that helps them determine rankings. And it takes the top 20 to 30 results and it re-ranks them according to this complicated, you know, they use all these different signals in all these different machine learning systems with one goal in mind, is to determine what is likely to be helpful for people. And they look at what people actually are finding helpful. They use actual data from clicks, from hovers, from, you know, any signal that they can use that determines that, oh, people actually found this search helpful, is fed back into some type of a system. I guess I am explaining how it all works. And then And then that system, you can see how that could get manipulated, right? We could do all sorts of things with clicks to try to make it look like people are engaging with our content. And people have tested with that, and you know, sometimes it works, and then Google usually catches on. Well, it turns out that that system is fine-tuned by information from the quality raters. The raters provide Google with examples of helpful and unhelpful results, and those are used to fine-tune the results that that are mostly determined by user preference. So when people complain that, oh, Forbes is ranking above me, it's probably because people tend to find the information helpful and useful. And so should you be copying Forbes? No. Because part of the reason why they find it helpful and useful is it comes from a brand that they recognize. And a lot of what we've talked about in terms of EAT, or now EEAT, and even some of my theory that I had put out on how Google might determine EEAT, actually is just all conceptual. It's a way of Google saying, look, we're trying to reward what people tend to find helpful, and people tend to find it helpful when content comes from a place of experience, when it's on an authoritative website, when it's trustworthy content. And so really, it all comes down to actually providing the most helpful result and being known for providing that helpful result, being known on that topic. So let's go back to that was a big ramble. So when Gary says, you know, what domain name do you choose? Well, it's what your users would find interesting or would click on, or what is good for your business. We need to get away from the those of us who knew SEO for years. There was a time where the words in your domain, you know, would make Google's ranking algorithms that were just a bunch of heuristics, a bunch of rules, would make it look better to Google. And now, you know, people would say, well, I've tested it and having my keyword in my domain name helps. Well, maybe it helps because users associate you with that brand. Like it's all about what users find useful and helpful. You should think more about how your users perceive your pages on sites based on the URL and domain name. Okay. So next they have a discussion on headings and keywords and whether they matter. And John says, well, do you think they basically don't play a role at all? Like meta keywords, you know, they used to be important. People used to spam search engines. A lot of spam calls today. People used to spam search engines by manipulating their meta keywords tag. And there actually was a time where you could actually rank by stuffing your meta keywords tag. And today that's laughable, right? So is John saying this is the same thing about headings? Let's see. John says Google never actually used meta keywords. Yeah, it was other search engines that you could manipulate with that. I bet a banana that we never will. This is really important. What Lizzie's talking about here is there's a lot of information that SEOs just know. And a lot of what we know is based on things that just aren't actually true right now. So how do you get that out of our heads? I really don't know. It's one of the reasons why I paused doing my consulting for a while, because I had all these ideas on how machine learning was changing rankings. But there really wasn't much information to back me up on that at the time. And if you look at, you know, traditional best practices for SEO, they would conflict with some of the things that that I was recommending. And so, you know, I think we do need to be making some changes in our understanding of what's important to Google. Well, and the episode ends a little anticlimactically. They really haven't changed that much that's exciting. It looks like they've just taken out some things that really aren't that important in terms of search. I've kind of added my own thoughts here on how things have changed, because all that matters is being a result that people tend to find helpful. I know that sounds a little silly, but it really does come down to that. Now, let's take this information that we did here, and I'll show you how I make my newsletter summary for this. Let me just add a few more notes that I might want to incorporate in. They mostly took out information that was dated or not searched for often. Didn't specifically say all you need to do is create helpful content. My interpretation is the Google systems are built to reward content that people actually are finding helpful and reliable. And that's the most important thing. Okay. That's kind of like my rough notes of how I would summarize this for a newsletter. So I'm going to introduce you here to my newsletter summary. All right. This is Google AI Studio that not a lot of people are talking about. And it looks super confusing. I thought that Google would make it, more intuitive. But I'll show you just briefly the structured prompts. And there's only five examples in here, but I've been taking them in, putting them out. What you do here is you put in a prompt and you ask the tool to, run the prompt. You run the prompt, you get this output, and then you modify it so that it's better and put that into the examples. These are examples where I was just writing stuff for a newsletter and I wrote, summarize this. Some of my examples I write, summarize this, here's the article and here are my notes. And that's what we're gonna do for this one. So let's see here, we're gonna say, summarize this in, sometimes I tell it how many paragraphs. We'll see what it comes out with first. Summarize this transcript. Here is the transcript. And we'll go take this whole transcript and just put it in quotes. Command V and it's in there. Arg. Okay. And you know what? I got to take out some of my examples when that happens. All right. Then I'm going to go, and here are my notes. Where are my notes? And then we're going to run it. And we'll see what it comes up with. And each time we do this, it gets just a little bit better, a little bit more accurate. And if it's not accurate, then I change my prompt. Google's rewriting the SEO starter guide. The current version of the guide ranks well because people find it. So, okay. So here's what I'll do with this. I'm going to take this. And I'm going to go back to my document. The current version of the guide ranks well. I think that's because people find it helpful. I want to make sure that people don't think that Google said that. Google cut out over half of the information, mostly removing it. Okay. Oh, I guess I didn't copy it all. Actually find helpful. So now I'm going to take this and I'm going to put back. I'm going to use this, add this prompt to the examples. And then I'm going to take what it wrote and I'm going to change, paste in my, where'd it go? All right, my summary. I would probably rewrite that a bit more. So that's one example. And then I'm going to do the same example again. I'm going to try something a little different. This time. All right. Summarize this transcript in a 3 to 5 sentence paragraph. I don't know if it will do that, but we will see. Her notes as a guide, sure to, okay, so I said summarize this transcript in 3 to 5 sentences written from Marie's perspective. I'm not sure if it'll do that. It may not. It may throw in, I, Marie, blah, blah, blah. Be sure to, using her notes as a guide, be sure to indicate when a thought is Marie's and when a thought is, when something is from the transcript. Okay, now let's see how that goes. This might seem like a lot of work, but for a lot of articles that I summarize for newsletter, I can just put the article in and it summarizes down to 1 or 2 sentences. And that's how I get so much done. I skim through articles and then I try to summarize them as quickly as possible. And it does a fairly good job. I'm super excited that Google is rewriting the SEO starter guide. Oh, that's funny. Sounds like Google is taking a more user-centric approach to the new guide, focusing on providing information that's actually helpful to people. I'm also glad. Okay, so what I would do, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to end this video here soon, is I would take this and I would use this structure as the outline to write my actual summary. And so I would make this shorter and I would use this kind of like as a first draft. It's almost as if my assistant has given me a first draft. I would not use the word overall. I think that that's a surefire way to know that a language model has been involved. That and a colon in a title. I spent an hour yesterday trying to create a structured prompt that would not put a colon in a title. It's not so easy. This may not look exciting. I mean, this is certainly not what I would put in newsletter, but it shortens things for me. And as it continues to learn, and as I learn how to get better at prompting it, this will get better and better at learning to be my assistant that's trained for this particular job. So I hope you have found this episode helpful, and see you later, alligator.